Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way as always. Well, I guess not as always. It's a Friday podcast. We still got Courtney Cronin in the building. We didn't end up podding yesterday because of the game, but now we have so much to react to. Bears going 4-0 for the first time since the 90s in preseason. Did we see anybody last night who made more of a name for themselves and may have locked themselves up a spot on the Chicago Bears team? We'll talk about all that more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Courtney, what's going on?
Not much. I am a little fatigued this morning because these East Coast start times. So I'm in New York and this game started at 8:20 and was over at like 11:40 p.m. I don't know how people do this on the regular out here. I am not built for East Coast time.
East Coast football. I'm not going to lie.
For night games, the worst. I never want to cover a Sunday night game on the East Coast ever.
It never sounds appealing. Even just watching games. Like, how are you watching West Coast sports on the East Coast? Like,
You don't. You go to bed and you see it in the morning. But I stayed up through everything, through every snap of this four quarters of preseason game number four action. We've made it. We're finally at the end of it. It's crazy to think that we've now been at this for, I know it's 23 days because the first preseason game was August 1st, but it feels like it's been 10 months.
Oh, yeah. Listen, by the time you get to the final game where you're getting, you know, I mean, heavy ripping minutes, that's when, yep, you know I'm ready for the season to start. We got some guys who have prepared themselves well, I think, for the start of the season. I've actually commended Matt Eberflus multiple times for how he has utilized this offseason period. And you saw it last night in full display, because last night, if you watched that game, at least how it felt to me was that the hits principle not only permeates through the starters on this team, but through the entire team. Because I think you saw some people go out there and make a name for themselves and make things difficult on this Tuesday cutdown. When you look at what you saw yesterday, Courtney, who do you feel like really stood out yesterday in that Kansas City game?
There are a couple, and I have my 53-man roster done ahead of this game with the right to change a few things based on what happens. And there were a couple instances last night that made me move some things around.
Right.
But as far as somebody standing out enough to earn their way onto the roster over someone else, the first guy I think of is DeAndre Carter for a number of different reasons. The fact that we didn't see Dante Pettis play last night, I think he's still dealing with some injury that he has. I don't know what it is, but he was on the bike the other day after his 2-touchdown performance against the Cincinnati Bengals. These receiver injuries, whether it's him, whether it's Colin Johnson, have really affected the battle for that sixth spot, that at least I have them allocating six for the receivers this time around.
Right.
But DeAndre Carter has, you know, outside of missing just a couple days of practice after that hit he took in Buffalo, he's had a really good camp. And I go back to the other day when Pettis is out, but also Keenan Allen's out, and it was DeAndre Carter getting some reps in that final practice before the Kansas City game with the ones. And, you know, that can just be a numbers game that they have to play. But I think he's made the most of his opportunities when he's got them. Yes, last night he did muff a punt. They still have issues, I guess, with I don't think there's anybody that you're like, man, clear-cut punt returner day one. Yes. Like, I feel completely comfortable with this guy. But I think, you know, the way that at least my roster's shaking out, he is the day one punt returner, unless there's some addition that they make in the next couple of days with cuts and anything else on other people's teams. But he gets that final receiver spot, and he'll end via like his work on as a return specialist. He's been in the league 7 years. He has the experience. He's returned a ton of punts before. You know, last night wasn't, you know, the best, but like just in terms of that aspect, but I do think he has done enough to earn his way onto the roster. And it's also about dependability too. I mean, he's been relatively healthy outside of those couple of days that he missed from the Buffalo game in being able to be out there and still show he can compete for a job on a weekly basis instead of having to like take a bunch of time off for injury.
Yeah. DeAndre Carter is an interesting one because to me, like when you look at his game, you know that, or you felt like, right, at least up until last night, you knew that he was going to be consistent in the punt return game.
Yeah.
And that was going to give him a leg up. Also being able to go out there and play that receiver role and doing it at a pretty well, if we're being honest, in that game. I mean, like, I think that I agree with you on that, that he might have given himself a little bit of a leg up. I don't know if Pettis is out of it just yet. I don't know if he's locked it up because of the performance we saw from Pettis. But the thing about Pettis is, I mean, this is what, it's our fourth camp with Dante Pettis being here?
Third camp.
He's dealt with injuries.
Yeah, every time. It's either a hamstring injury or something else. And, you know, it's unfortunate that that's part of, you know, it's part of his story. But I just don't know, like, you know, can the Bears keep him around in some capacity? Sure. But does he make the 53 if he's injured right now? I don't think so.
Exactly. And that's my point. You know, we're three seasons into this, and all three seasons with Flus. And he's continuously dealing with some sort of injury around camp time. I mean, we were here last season doing the same exercise. So we'll see what ends up happening with Pettis. I think the big question that is on most people's minds is, did Velus Jones save himself last night? I know that you've been one who felt like Velus was going to make the team no matter what. But in my opinion, last night's performance, if you thought that Velus Jones wasn't going to make the team, I think last night was enough to say that they're going to probably put him on the team, even though I still don't know what you're going to utilize him for. Like, are you going to put him in a game and he's going to get 13 snaps? I wouldn't assume so. He's not getting the receiver reps. Maybe kick returner is his spot, even though we've seen other guys starting there over the last few preseason games. Do you feel like Velus solidified his job here on the Chicago Bears last night?
I do. And I know it was a little weird at first because he didn't get into the game until the second quarter. And some of that could just have been, hey, we know Ian Wheeler is not going to make the active roster. Let's get him some run before get him onto the practice squad.
Yeah.
I know he's dealing with some sort of injury too. But that's where I felt like his spot was, like, this entire time, just because he's an undrafted guy. There were, you know, depth chart wise, I never felt like it was really Ian Wheeler versus Velus Jones. No. But what you saw last night, it felt like maybe they were trying to shield Velus for a while. And then when they got him out there, 13 carries for 111 yards, I want to say, and a touchdown. I mean, that's 8.5 yards a carry. I know it's against backups on defense, but this is the action I think most people wanted to see from him against Buffalo, against the Cincinnati Bengals, against, you know, just earlier when these games aren't just featuring backups across the board, but it is what it is. I have long felt that he is safe and just kind of like taking the pulse around the team right now. It's kind of the vibe that I get from people that he's somebody who's going to make his way onto the roster. They've given him too many opportunities to, you know, show his value to this team. And whether you think he's a liability on return in the return game, or whether you're not really sure like what his role is just yet, because I think there is some confusion. Like, what is he going to be a running back? Is he going to be a wide receiver? Are they going to have to reclassify his position? I mean, like, what are they going to use him as? That stuff, I guess you can just decide that at a later date. He's at least proven that he can do it now, or it's like, all right, good. Like, you've gotten this experiment out of the way. He's shown he can prove you right in certain areas, and that's why he makes his way onto the roster on this 53. I've never once in any of my iterations of my 53 not had him on, and that continues with the one that I just put out.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it is you know, you wanted to see something. If he had gone out there last night and showed you nothing, maybe then you start to feel that way. But like, I just think that if there was ever a question on Velus Jones making the roster. And yeah, I get it. Everybody's going to say, well, this was against backups. Well, guess what? We can't pick and choose when we're excited about going up against backups, right? Caleb Williams, how he played in that second quarter was against backups, right? Like, the starters were out there for Buffalo, so I guess he got that game. But like, you can't pick and choose when the backups become less important or more important. It's backups all the way through preseason. And would I do it? No. Do I think that it shows maybe a little bit of a blind spot in Ryan Poles' judgment for guys that he selected? I do. But at the end of the day, we're not going to sit here and pretend like GMs don't usually have blind spots for the guys that they drafted, especially usually their first picks. And Velus was, of course, that first pick. I think it's going to be interesting looking on the defensive line side of things because there's some names, Courtney, that are making a real name for themselves when you look at Austin Booker, when you look at Daniel Hardy. We've kind of talked about people we think will make this team. Did Dominique Robinson lose his job last night?
I don't think he did. I don't. And a lot of that's a numbers game, because you talk about depth and like what they're doing on the defensive line. Did you hear Flus after the game talk about how concerned he was with the defensive tackle depth that they have?
Yeah.
That, he's right. Like, Zach Pickens is dealing with some sort of injury. I mean, outside of, you know, behind Jervon Dexter, behind Andrew Billings, it's Zach Pickens, and then what? Like, that would concern me. Yes, you can kick DeMarcus Walker inside on you know, certain sub packages, but you don't want that to be a primary option to fill your depth on the interior of the defensive line. So I do think that they're going to be pretty active in trying to find somebody somewhere to bring in, just to be able to have like bodies up there. But when it comes to, like, I say all that to say, because of the numbers game, I think Dominique Robinson ends up making this roster. I do. My defensive ends for my initial 53 were, of course, Sweat, Walker, Booker, Hardy, and Dominique Robinson. I had 8 staying on the, and then the 3, of course, the 3 defensive tackles.
3 tackles, yeah.
I had 8 on my roster with the idea that that's not a complete position right now, but. Because, like, who else, when you're playing the numbers game and you're thinking, okay, like, am I going to add one more linebacker here to get Noah Sewell on the roster, which I did last night. After seeing him out there, I'm like, okay, your draft status effectively saves you here. We know that your head coach is a former linebacker. He loves linebacker depth. Like, okay, Noah Sewell gets onto the roster. So I had to take away a safety. So I took away Adrian Colbert, thinking that there's just too much depth right now in the secondary. That's somebody who could make his way onto the practice squad. But I didn't touch the defensive line unit because – honestly, who else are you putting on over Dominique Robinson right now? Seriously, like, to take a look at, I mean, yesterday's performance aside from, you know, there was the one sack from Mallory. Like, I don't, that doesn't do enough for me to move the needle. Like, there's nothing, there's nobody else that really jumped out as somebody who was better and gives you more than what Dominique Robinson can give you as a situational pass rusher. And as somebody who, you know, has found a spot for himself as one of the bigger guys, bigger bodies on return team.
I think what's tough, and I think you hit the nail on the head, is that the DB unit just has so much depth. The guy that I probably would have, who I don't know if he makes the roster, would probably be a Reddy Stewart, who had a heck of a game last night, who showed something really good last night. But like you said, when you look at that DB room right now, I mean, how many names do you get to? Or get through, I guess, before you get to guys like Adrian Colbert, guys like Reddy Stewart. And you can't say that about the other rooms. I think it's going to be – I think Dom Rob probably needs to do a heck of a lot more, probably needs to be more involved in special teams. He's very aware of that. And we talked to – when we talked to him, he said that as well. Like, I'm willing to play wherever they want me to play, and I think special teams is going to be important for me to make this roster. But I think that – at that point, are you keeping depth just for the sake of depth, which you can do in the NFL, right? But when you've got Austin Booker, when you've got Daniel Hardy, two guys that I think are leaps and bounds ahead of him, which is crazy to say because we're in year 3 Dominique Robinson, and this is the rookie year for Austin Booker. But when you look at those guys, like, it's just, I think you've got some answers, at least early on that edge position in certain packages. Are you just keeping Dominique Robinson just to have that depth there, or are you keeping him because you feel like he's someone you can utilize?
I mean, you'll never not keep a player that you think you can utilize. I mean, hell, that's been the excuse for Velus the last couple of years 100%. Too. Like, you can use him on kickoff return. You can use him here. Like, that's for Dominique. I mean, that I say all of that to say, it doesn't mean that I think there are not guys who are, like, you know, reserves who are going to get more snaps than he does.
Yes.
On the defensive line. I think when you mentioned Austin Booker and Daniel Hardy, I think that those two are ahead of him in terms of how the Bears view it with their snap counts and what the depth chart will ultimately look like on Tuesday. But the new kickoff rules and the coverage units, like, require certain body types out there. And remember, he's an athlete. Like, this guy was a receiver 5-6 years ago. Like, so he may not be the fastest guy out there, but he's got the size and he's got enough athleticism to be able to cover on kickoff. Like, the just the way that, like, they had to use different body types and different skill sets to craft a certain type of player on kickoff coverage that they didn't have on the last, you know, iteration of this because the rules change. So I think that's something they have to factor in too, because if they got rid of him, then who are you then who's taking his place primarily on like kickoff coverage and any other unit that they want to use him on any of the four phases of special teams? I just don't think you're going to be able to find that right now with somebody else that they currently have on the roster. That's why I put him on mine.
Yeah, no, it'll be tough. I think that he is one of those names on the bubble, but I think that he probably does sneak his way through. As far as being one of those guys who's heavily utilized, that's probably going to be his job on special teams. Do you feel like there is anyone on this team who is going to be a surprise camp cut for the Chicago Bears right now?
I didn't have anybody that was like super surprising, okay. Which again, there is always one that makes you like, oh, how did we not see that coming? With the offensive line last night, with Larry Borum going down, I think Flus had an ankle injury.
Yeah,
I thought he was a cap casualty effectively, or like, you know, they'd have to rework his contract or something because he's making $3 million this year as a backup. I wouldn't be surprised if that's somebody who gets waived with an injury settlement, and then that opened up another spot on the offensive line. Like, so, and I had Bill Murray replacing him because again, at this point, you're just kind of picking guys that have flashed or at least give you, you know, can play multiple different spots.
Yeah.
So, that one, it's not a surprise because it happened in the game last night. The, like, as I go through it,
is there a Travis Homer? Travis Homer still on the roster?
Still on the roster. Like, there's no really big name that kind of goes, huh, surprise. Like, it could be like if you thought Jonathan Owens was going to get cut, which we know right. He's not going to, but that one would be a surprise because it's like, okay, well, you could understand it because he's a backup safety, but also the guy's played a ton of snaps in the preseason. He's your third safety. I mean, Elijah Hicks was the same case going into camp. I thought he was on the bubble. He solidified himself pretty well in the absence of Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker in the preseason. I don't have anybody who is just jumping out at me is okay. Right. This guy didn't do enough. Like that, you know, we thought he was going to make it. He didn't. The only argument you could make, I would have been weeks ago for Khalil Herbert, but he's firmly on this roster.
Yeah. And I think that's,
and Kari Blasingame's on this roster. Like, I'm convinced about that. I do not have them cutting a fullback, and I understand it's weird because Shane Waldron's offenses have never utilized fullbacks in the last 3 years in Seattle. The vibe that I get in speaking with some people, kind of like, you know, feeling it out with Kari Blasingame, is that he does make this roster. You can do too much with him. Big body guy who can block. You can line him up in the backfield or slot. Not that those are going to be like big time snap counts for him, but he's a reliable blocker. And when you have a third tight end that's 40 years old in Mercedes Lewis, I just think you have to have another option there. That's just not saying anything about like his ability and his play. I just think you have to have another option there is depth.
The only question that I would have is, would they keep one of those tight ends in place? Because we did see Shane Waldron run some 13 personnel in that Bengals game. We've seen him utilize the three tight end set. Now, you've still got three tight ends on the roster. Your best one at blocking is Mercedes Lewis, of course, so you still could run 13 personnel. But I did think that that might be a situation where you'll want to keep that fourth tight end possibly on the roster because of the ability to be a tight end, but also to be able to block in the backfield, maybe a Ryan Sweeney, maybe a, I mean,
Brendan Bates.
We saw tight end you here.
Yeah.
This year.
I have two of them making the practice squad. I have Carlson and Bates finding their way there. And I think Bates has had a really good camp.
Yes.
And Carlson has too. I mean, some of those toe tapping sideline catches were impressive. They were a moment. But I don't see either of them on the 53.
Okay. I'm not mad at that. That's an interesting one because the fullback has been the big question.
I know.
J-Mac talked about that and we were like,
it's normally not a question in today's NFL, but it is because this is a guy who's been here for two seasons now, new offensive coordinator that does not utilize his position or had not utilized his position, but we started to see him get incorporated into training camp practices and, you know, part of the passing game more than just being a blocker. Then you wonder, okay, is there a space for him here? And I do think that there is.
Yeah. Hey, I'd be excited to see him stay on this roster. I like Kari, man. Like I think that he's, he's underutilized. And I know the fullback position as a whole is underutilized, but we saw Kari like get some snaps last year, actually running the football. And I was, you kind of forget like, oh, this dude's actually fast. That can do everything a running back can do, but can block really well. Before we get up out of here, Courtney, and appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. When Tuesday gets here, which unit are you going to feel the best about and the worst about on the team right now?
Let's go worst first. I still think that you're looking at the line, at the defensive line, saying there's still
some questions,
something missing.
Yeah, a lot of questions.
And you know, because their cuts happen on Tuesday, then you can start scouring everybody else's cuts and start thinking about who you want to bring in. If there's any street free agents right now that, you know, are still out there that you think would be a good addition. I think Matt Eberflus expressing concern last night over the defensive tackle depth was that's, he doesn't normally do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. He normally doesn't go through and
it was very open.
About that.
Yeah, that was a little surprising.
That was surprising to me, but it's you understand it because the numbers game does not favor you whatsoever right now at that position. And I just, knowing, because we had to do this assignment, like floors and ceilings for each team and like reasons for optimism, reasons for concern. There's a million reasons for optimism with the Bears, right? Like Caleb Williams comes into a situation that is unheard of for a number one overall pick. But the reason for concern, and like we were talking about on the podcast the other day with why I'm not ready to call them a top five defense yet, is their ability to effectively get after the quarterback. Now, what we've seen in these preseason games, assuming that, you know, knowing that Eric Washington has been calling majority of these games, but also knowing that this is Matt Eberflus's defense, the aggressive intent that they have in terms of blitzing, there's an uptick to that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Is that the way they're going to have to manufacture pressure to get the quarterback? Then if they do, that's great if it works. But I just look at that defensive line unit, knowing how few sacks it had generated last year, how little pressure. You are not a top five defense if you can't get after the quarterback on a consistent basis. And that would be my concern, just about, has this unit really changed all that much from a year ago?
Does that speak to a concern with maybe where Jervon Dexter's at? Because I thought Jervon Dexter has looked really good. I know he likes to do that platoon swap, so it's really the depth he's talking about there.
Sure.
But do you feel like maybe that was Flus even saying Dex isn't as far, he isn't far enough along where he's at?
I think Dexter's had a tremendous camp.
He's played great to me in camp. Yeah.
He's had a great camp. He's shown an ability to like dent the pocket.
Yeah.
You know, get in the backfield pretty quickly. I think that that's just more of a, hey, this is a scary numbers game. If some guy goes down and Zach Pickens is our only option, then who behind him? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we watched Zach Pickens get manhandled versus backups in the Hall of Fame game. And he hasn't been out there much. But you, even in the joint practice, I just remember watching him just going, that's not good enough.
No, and that's what I think Flus was getting at there. And I guess I'll say the group that I would feel the best about, the cornerback depth here is the best that it's been since I started covering this team 2 years ago, since Flus got here 2 years ago. Like that's when I looked at my 53 and how I was kind of struggling thinking, okay, is there any way that any of these guys that stood out, you know, the last couple of weeks in practice can get onto the roster, when your depth, like Terrell Smith, Jalen Jones, Josh Blackwell, Greg Stroman, like you have three starters and you have four guys who have all played in NFL games, all of whom have had starts before. I think that's a really hard depth chart to crack. So I think you'd feel really good about where the strength of your secondary is and where it lies at your cornerback position group.
Yeah, your DB room is dangerous. I mean, it's not even the fact that all of them have started at points in the NFL because of injury and stuff like that. But like just about every one of them has come in and made a positive impact on the games that they were in. So I think when you look at it that way too, it's just, it's exciting to see the depth that they have at DB. And I mean, how Flus goes about it, it's not surprising. I mean, like literally at every turn, he's like, let me get another DB.
Yeah. I mean,
we need another one? Let me get one.
That was always a joke when I covered Mike Zimmer. Like he brought up this commercial once that was actually related to like guns.
Yeah.
And this person would say like, just one more gun. And that was how he viewed cornerbacks. Like just one more, you have to have one more. And when you know, like the positions that are the most important is defense. Like, so three technique, weak side, you know, your weak side linebacker, and then cornerback. Like, those are the positions that Flus puts a premium on, certainly, and the Bears do with who they paid. Like, just follow the money on all of that. I really think that this is the best cornerback unit that they've had. You have your three starters who have played multiple seasons together. Jalen Johnson's still finding new ways to reinvent himself, to invent himself, period. At, you know, 4 or 5 years, 5 years now into his career. They're going to be a hard unit to throw on. They really are. Tyreek Stevenson is going to get a lot more targets just because they don't want to throw in Jalen Johnson, but this is going to be a good group. For sure.
Oh yeah. It's going to be fun to watch this season. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. Which unit do you feel the best about heading into the season? Which unit do you feel the worst about? Because, I mean, I guess it's not all sunshine and rainbows on the defensive side, even though it feels like it 90% of the time. You won't be able to run on this group. I'll tell you that. No, you
definitely won't. They will be very, very good run defense once again.
Let us know your thoughts. Hit the like button, subscribe to the page. For Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there in Chicago. Bear down, one love. We'll be back tomorrow. Breaking down. Oh, wait, we won't be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's Saturday. I'm so thrown off on this Thursday game. We'll be back Monday breaking down more.